We're starting Lamed Hey. Our daf today is Lamed Hey. We're going to go back a little bit to Lamed Dalet Amud Bet. There was a question asked, fourth line, Ba Mine Rav Chiya Bar Avin Mi Rava. Rav Chiya Bar Avin asked Rava this question. If you say, Ki Kari Alecha, my kikar is a sur to you. And then, Nitnalo B'matana Mahu. And then you give it as a gift to him. So now, what did you mean when you said that? Ki Kari Amar Lo? And therefore, ki ita birshutehu daasur, o dilma alecha amarle ilave shavite hektesh. So, what are the two options? Either you said my kikar is asur to you, but as soon as I give it to you, it becomes yours, and then it's not asur to you because it's no longer mine, right? So the question is the stress on my kikar, which as soon as I give it to you is no longer mine, or is the stress on alecha? But my kikar is asur to you, meaning you can never get any benefit from it whether or not I give it to you b'matana. That was the question he asked Rava. So Rava answers, Amarle pshita, da'af agav diahavale b'matana, asur. Okay? He says it's obvious that even though he gives it to him b'matana, it's still asur. And he says, Ela kikari alecha lafuke mai. In other words, what else would the case be? Coming lafuke. He says, what? My lav lafuke di gamba mine migna. When the guy said, my kikar is a sur to you, what was he trying to say? In case you steal it from me? He obviously wasn't concerned for that aspect. In other words, he wasn't saying, my kikar is a sur to you so that you don't steal it. What was he trying? Again, we always try to say, what was his intent? Amarle, lo lafuke di azmine alat. What was he trying to get out of? He was trying to say, So he was saying, it's obviously not that he was trying to, sorry, we're still on the, before we move to the next line. It's obviously, it wasn't that he was trying to get him to steal. It was obviously he was trying to get him to stop, to prevent the guy from saying, oh, I really want that, please give it to me. So he said, ki kari alecha, to basically say, my kikar is a sur to you, don't ask me for it. Don't ask me to give you as a matana. Okay, that's Rava's understanding. So therefore, Rava says, the whole point was to prevent him from forcing him, you know, or coaxing him to give him it as a gift. And therefore, that must be what he meant to asur him, even as a gift. And that's why he says a pshita. It's obvious that if I say, my kikar is a sur to you, why am I saying it? Because I'm trying to prevent you from taking a gift from me. So comes Rav Chiya Bar Avin, and he says, I don't like your proof, because Amarle, lo, la'afuke di azmane ala. He was trying to prevent him from, pushing him to invite him to his house. In other words, right, he wanted an invitation. So he said, my food is asur to you, meaning stop bothering me to invite you to my house. But that wasn't to give me a matana. That was just to invite him. So according to Rava, no, that wasn't the issue. And the issue was he was trying to prevent him from encouraging him to give him this bread as a gift. So therefore, what do we have here? We have, according to Rava, okay, Rav Chiya Bar Avin doesn't necessarily agree with him, and then Rav Chiya Bar Avin asked the question, Rava gave an answer, Rav Chiya Bar Avin said, I don't agree with your proof. So we don't know what Rav Chiya Bar Avin says, but we do know that Rava says that if you give it as a matana, if you said the words, ki kari alecha, okay, and then you give it as a matana, it's still asur. Okay, that's what he says. Now, because he said, that must be why you said it. Okay, that's his reasoning. Now the Gemara says, Etive. We're going to ask a question on Rava from Makor Tana'i. Amar lo, hashileni paratcha. Okay, lend me your para. Amar lo, konan para sha'ani kanoi lecha, nechasai alecha, im yesh li para elazo. Okay, so then the guy responds. Okay, the guy says, lend me your para. He responds in one of two ways. Either he says, any para that I own is forbidden to you, is konam to you. Okay. Or he says, all my nechasim will be forbidden to you if I have another para other than this one. Okay, meaning I'm not going to lend it to you, okay, and everything will be forbidden on you. Hashileni kadormcha, lend me your spade. Okay, same kind of case, it's just with a spade instead of a cow. Amarlo konam kardom sheyeshli shani kanoi. That's any kardom that I own should be forbidden to you. Nechasai alecha, or he says, right, all my money will be forbidden to you, im yesh li kardom elaze. If I have any other kardom other than this, what does that basically mean? This is the only one I have, and therefore I can't lend it to you. That's what he's basically saying, right? That's why he says, she'ein li elaze this. All my stuff will be forbidden to you if I have another one, a spare one, right? You can imagine, someone comes to borrow something, you say, sorry, I don't have any. right? I only have one and I need it. And then you say, right, and if I do have any more, well, then all my nechassim are forbidden on you. It's like a way of swearing. I swear I don't have any more in my house. So now, what's the situation? And it turns out, okay, like the second case, he happens to have a kardom or he has a para in his house. So now, what's the story? Well, now the neder applies and all the guys' nechassim are forbidden to the friend. So now they say, Bechayav Asur. So while the guy who made the neder is still alive, it's forbidden for the guy. Mate, Oshin Itnala Bamatana, Hareze Mutar. If the guy dies, though, who owned the kardom or the para, or it's given as a gift, the para or the kardom is given as a gift to the other guy who he swore to, or he made a neder about, Hareze Mutar. Okay, once the property changes hands, right, you see that? It's no longer belonging to the owner, and therefore the neder is removed. So now, what do you see from here? That if you give it, what do we say? If you give it as a matana, it's asur. Ki kari alecha, and this is the same thing, right? Nechasai alecha, right? And the, okay? So basically, what do you see? Or konam para, okay? So now, what do you see? So that's the case. It's mutar. So what's Rava going to answer? Amar Rav Acha, Bered Rav Ika, okay, he answers for Rava, Shenitnalo al yedei acher. When we're talking about, notice it said nitnalo b'matana, not natnalo b'matana. Okay, it's not that he gave it to him, it's that, right, there was Reuven, okay, and then there's Shimon. So Reuven's the guy, Shimon wants to borrow, right, he's the borrower, or the potential borrower. Reuven's the guy who made the neder, okay? But now Reuven gave it to Levi, and then Levi gave it to Shimon, okay? Nitnala b'matana by somebody else. Ah, well, once it's nitnala b'matana by somebody else, then already, right, it doesn't even belong to Reuven anymore. So Reuven's not even in the picture when it comes to this neder. This neder has nothing to do with Reuven, okay? So that's the case. And therefore, it doesn't disagree with Rava, because if Reuven directly gave it to Shimon, that would be the problem. That's exactly what Rava said. We're trying to prevent, right? The whole reason he made an neder is because he doesn't want Shimon to borrow his stuff. So therefore, right, he wants to prevent the situation from him lending it or giving him as a gift. But if there's already a middleman there, someone else, the property already went out of Reuven's hands into someone else's hands, well then, of course, there's no issue.
Okay, so I have a question now. Because yesterday when we learned Daf Lamed Daled, Amud Aleph, it was all about returning an Avedah, and if there's a neder from I won't benefit, or there will be a hana. Again, I suggested that if there's a third party, it resolves the entire issue, and they didn't raise it on Amud Aleph. Why do they bring up the third party here all of a sudden to solve the problem?
Wait, why a third party with the Aveda? If the Aveda's...
If there's Isur Hana'av, returning of an Aveda, whether it's Isur Hana'av, the person who's returning or the person who's receiving, it gets neutralized if they...
You're saying
to a
if
third
the...
Person,
I see.
Wait,
you're saying if the guy who's not allowed...
You don't have to waste time on it because it's a whole...
You're saying why don't they suggest that there that...
Yeah, why? If because this is
it could, but they don't say...
It's the same sort of structure.
But they didn't say it couldn't work there. It could have worked there.
It could have, but they don't
bring it up. It could have worked there. They just don't bring it up.
But, like, this is a continuation sort of what was...
First of all, I think that... I'll tell you why I think they don't bring it up. You're talking about... You're suggesting that what should they have done? They should have had
The finder
give it to a middle person and that person give it back. But the finder wants to get the mitzvah. He won't get the mitzvah if he gives it to a third person to give it back. Here, I think it's a mitzvah element.
And
okay?
And hefkesh.
In other words, if he wants to get the mitzvah by giving it to a middleman, he's not getting the mitzvah because the middleman is the one who's being mishib avedah. So I think, right. Practically speaking, you can get it to the guy. I don't think that's what's concerning us. I think what's concerning them is the mitzvah of hashavat avedah. That's my sense. Can you pass me that for a second? I think I have a
question there.
Mm-hmm. There's no shaliach issue in terms of what?
You can't sign shaliach to fulfill the mitzvah for you.
No, it's not there.
On a complete tangent, but...
So, right, but then, no, if you send your shaliach, shalucho shel adam kamoto.
Correct.
Shalucho shel adam kamoto, and then
you get the mitzvah.
No, but you can't do it. It would still be a problem, because he's functioning exactly like you. The neder would... Right, he's exactly like you, which means it's the problem.
Correct.
Okay? Okay. So now, remember, Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika said, remember, it's Nitznalo Yadevcher. That's how he reads the Braita. So I'm Ravashi. Ravashi is going to prove it now. Daikanami de Katane. I'll prove it because it says Nitnalo, velo katane shen natnalo, okay? Specifically says nitna, not natna. Now, of course, if you look in our source, it's unclear whether it reads natna or nitna, okay? Because there's no yud in the text that appears by us. But obviously, he had a text that had a yud there. So therefore, it was proven that, you know, he proves that that's it. Okay. Now we're going to have another question. Remember the Mishnah? The Mishnah talked about that if you have, right, the salary, that was the whole question, who's the salary, right? What are we talking about? The guy's mochel on his salary, or right, if you want to be Meshav Aveda, and then you, generally people get paid for being Meshav Aveda. So either the question is, who do you give the salary to if the guy's mudar hana'ah from you and you can't pay him for returning it, or the flip, which is if you want to be mochel on it, right? If you're forbidden, you're the guy who lost the item, you're forbidden from getting hana'ah from him, and he doesn't make you pay him, that's hana'ah to you. So how do you get that hana'ah? So what do we do with it according to the Mishnah? What the Mishnah say, you remember? It goes to hekdesh, okay? It goes to hekdesh, and, right, what's, here it is. Tipol hana'ah lehekdesh. Okay, that was from Friday stuff. Okay, it goes to hekdesh, and yesterday's stuff was a whole discussion about exactly what the situation is. So now, what they're pointing out here is all this stuff, right? What do you mean it goes to hekdesh? Hekdesh, it's mamash hekdesh. It's not just forbidden. And we talked about, you know, you can't throw it in the yam soup and just say it doesn't belong to anybody. It's no man's. It's actually hekdesh. So now they want to know, well, if we're going to call this hekdesh, when you say konam perot alai, or, right, this kind of thing. So now, what's going to be the question? Remember how hekdesh works? There's another element to hekdesh. Besides you have to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, what if you accidentally get benefit from it? So what do we call that? That's called me'ila. So now we want to know, is there the din of me'ila? What happens if you do me'ila? So first of all, you have to bring an asham me'ila, and you have to pay the value of the item plus a fifth. Okay? Chomesh. So now, what do they say here? They want to know, by mine Rav Amir Rav Nachman. Okay, last question was asked to Rav, this question Rav is asking. Rav is asking Rav Nachman. Yesh mi'ila b'konamot olo. Is there din mi'ila when it comes to konam or not? Amar le tini tshua. Let's learn it from here. Makom shenotnim aleha sachar, tipol hana'ah lehekdesh. Lememra, what is this coming to teach us? Ki hekdesh, that it's just like hekdesh. If it says tipol hana'ah lehekdesh, that means this is like hekdesh all the way. Ma hekdesh yesh bo me'ila, av konamo yesh behem me'ila. Okay, such says Rav Nachman. Now the Gemara is going to tell us that, by the way, this is a machlok et tana'im, kitanai. Here's the braita. Konam kikar zo hekdesh. Okay, you say kikar zo. Okay, remember we keep having this distinction between kikar zo and kikar alai. Okay? Konam kikar zo hekdesh. If you say this kikar is hekdesh, va'achala, and then he eats it, right, by, it was presumably by accident, bein hu ubein chavero ma'al. Because you said kikar zo, it applies to the kikar, whether or not it's you, it's somebody else. Everybody is mo'el, okay? Just does me'ila. Lefichach, therefore, though, there's another element. If it's hekdesh, what's the din of hekdesh? You can be podeh. You can take the value of that kikar, bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, and free up the kikar to be eaten. So lefichach yesh la pidyon. Okay? So on the one hand, it's me'ila for everybody, me'ila lakol, but on the other hand, yesh la pidyon. Okay? Now, we're going to see the flip case. Okay? This is all Rabbi Meir we're going to see. Kikar zo alai. Okay? But if you say kikar zo alai, it's on me. So now it's going to be, okay? Kikar zo alai lehekdesh. Ve'achala. And then he eats it. Hu ma'al, b'chavero lo ma'al. If his friend eats this kikar, no problem. It's only hekdesh for him. Okay, so mi'ila rak lo. Okay, and now what else is he going to say? Lefichach ein la pidyon. it's only for him, and therefore it doesn't have a din of pidyon, because this is not hekdesh for anybody else. So therefore, there's no efsharut lifdot, okay? You cannot redeem it. Because the kikar itself, why can't you redeem it? Because it's not the kikar itself, it's you who has to bring the kikar. Pidyon is only if the object is sanctified. This object isn't sanctified, only as you relate to it. But that's because you have to bring a kikar of the Beit HaMikdash, not necessarily this kikar. Okay? So, I mean, this kikar for you is, but it's not on the object, it's on you. And therefore, there is no pidyon. That's all Devar Rabbi Meir. Chamim omrim, ben kach u ben kach, lo ma'al, lefi she'em me'ila b'kon amot. Here you have the flip. Okay, which is interesting that Rav Nachman held like Rabbi Meir, and not like Chachamim, right? Because generally, when there's a da'at yachid, we'll hold like the Chachamim. But anyway, Chachamim say there is no Me'ila by Kona Mot. In neither of these cases do you have Din of Me'ila. Okay, when he says it's Hekdesh, it's Kona, right? He just means it's forbidden. He doesn't mean it's Mamash Hekdesh. Amale Rav Acha, Bereda Rav Avi, Ale Rav Ashi. Ki kari alecha, v'netana lo b'matana. Mi ma'al. So now, let's take what we learned in the beginning of the shir and what we learned in the next part of the shir and combine them. Okay? If you say, Kikari Alecha, okay, and then you give it to him as a matana, is there Me'ila? Okay? So what's going to be the question? So now they say, Lim'ol notain, if the guy himself who gave the gift to the other guy, right, we already said, L'matana is asur, right? It's still asur to the guy. So now, what about Me'ila? So if you say the guy who gave it is Moel, halo asiri alea, right? It wasn't forbidden to him. He just said, my kikar is asur to you. So now, right, it's not like either of these cases. Right? This is kikar zo hektesh, that's not what he said. And he didn't say kikar zo alive, it's for me. He said it's for you. So if he says it's for you, so it's not forbidden to him. So therefore, it can't be the he was Moel. Mikabel, what about the mikabel? You could say it was Mila for him, because it was Asur to him, Kikari Alecha. But, Yachol Omar, Hetera Be'ite, Isura Lo Be'ite. I was looking for Heter, I wasn't looking for something that's forbidden. You gave me something forbidden, it's your fault, right? Everyone can basically pass the blame on to the other. Okay? He can say, I didn't do anything wrong. So Amar Leh, no. Mikabel Ma'al. The Mikabel is Mo'el. Even though he could say Hetera Be'ite, right? I wanted Heter. Right? What the whole din of Me'ila anyway is that you didn't know that it was hektish, right? It was all an accident. You didn't understand that this thing was hektish and you used it anyway. So Mekabel Ma'al L'chisha Yotzi. As soon as he uses the item, he gets Me'ila. Okay, whether he eats it or whether he gives it to someone or whether he does anything with it, any kind of benefit. Shekol Amotzi Ma'od Hektish L'chulin Kasavur Shechulin Hu Mo'el. And therefore Afze Mo'el. The whole concept of Me'ila is you took something, you thought it was chulin, you used it, it turned out it was hektesh. That's Me'ila. It's exactly what happened. This guy got a kikar from me as a gift. He had no idea that I said it was going to be forbidden to him. And it's true he didn't want something forbidden, but that's what he got. And he accidentally used something. So as soon as he's motziat lechulin, he uses it in a chulin manner, either to eat or to give to someone else or whatever he does with it, okay, sells it, anything, that in that moment he's done Me'ila. So in that case, they're basically saying, if I say kikari alecha, I can even pass the me'ila on to somebody else. Okay? And it becomes me'ila. He'll have a din of me'ila for him. Okay. New Mishnah. We're continuing now. If you're mudar hana'am echavero, right? You said your friend is forbidden to, right? Which case is this? Torem et shumato, right? You're forbidden to do something for some, what would be the case here? You're... Right. You can be Torem his Truma. Right. You're forbidden to, he's forbidden to get benefit from you. Okay. You are Madir Hana'a to him. Okay. He can't get benefit from you. But yet, you can be Torem et Trumato, Uma Asrotav Lida'ato. Okay. You can go into his field and be Mafresh his Truma to Masrot for him. Okay. That's not considered that you were Mahanehim in any way, because what were you doing? You were taking care of something he needed to take care of, right? You were doing his mitzvah, basically. And what did we learn? Mitzvah, lav lehen not nitznu. And this is your giving him hana'ah, but hana'ah of doing a mitzvah, that's not a din of hana'ah. We don't count that as hana'ah. And therefore, you can be Torah mitzvah mato, and masrotav l'dato, umakriva lav, let's say you're a kohen. So you can sacrifice for him kinei zavim, kinei zavot, kinei yodot, chataot v'ashamot. Okay, remember we learned about this, the zav and the zava, and the yoled that have to bring these birds, right? And the, so what, do you remember we learned in Shkalim, they would put the money in, and then the kohanim would take all the money, and they would give, you know, buy the amount of birds that was from the money, and, you know, people would leave their money, and the kohanim would do it, basically. So the kohen is allowed to be makriv, the kinei zavim, the kinei zavot, the kinei yoldot, and any chatat or asham that you have, the kohen's allowed to do that. Okay, new one. Milamdo midrash halachot va'agadot, avalo ilmedenu mikra. Okay, this is a weird one. We're going to get to this in the Gemara, so we're going to leave it till then. I'll leave you in suspense. Okay, it's only on Lamed Zayin. He teaches him midrash halachan agadot, okay, but he can't teach him Torah. Aval milamed hu et banav ve'epnotav mikra. But he can teach his sons, get the big line, and daughters mikra. Okay, Torah shebichtav. Okay, I want you to take a note here. Okay, it says there's a little aleph, although it's funny. The Gemara I was using yesterday had a little aleph. This one doesn't have anything, so I don't know where it is in my text here. Oh, but it, if the little aleph takes you to notes that don't appear on my text, but it says that the words ve'ed benotav is not existent in the text. Okay, in other words, it's unclear whether the word, there's different nuschaot, whether the benotav appear here or not. Okay, very interesting, right? You can imagine. Either someone took it out, more likely, right? That they said,
the
basically...
It's Hachanot Yonim.
I don't have it in my Gemara here.
It's
so funny. Right, the Rambam and Tor don't have it. And look in Sota, okay, where there's the famous... Right, Sota Memdala, we're going to get there soon. Right, there's a whole machlok of whether women can learn Torah Shebichtav or not. Okay, so my guess is, again, this is just my reading of it, that the benotav was there and people took it out because I can't imagine someone would add benotav, right? And it's more likely that benotav was there and people said, "What do you mean you can't learn teach girls Torah? Take out the words ve'et benotav," and that's probably what happened here. Especially, you read, it's the Rambam and the Torah. Now, the Rambam lived in Muslim Spain, and the Rambam's sources toward women in general was much more, you know, women in his times were, and where he was living, were very secluded and not into the intellectual thing. And he talks about, you know, women shouldn't leave the house more than once or twice a month. Okay? You ever see that source? Yeah. I mean, it's a very famous source. And yeah, they shouldn't leave the house more than once or twice a month because called Chodav Melech Pnima, and clearly his whole perspective was different than ours. So and other people in his time, you know, in Christian Spain or in Christian countries, you know, Spain was split, right? There were different areas that were Muslim and different that were Christian. And where the Christian influence was, it was very different. So anyway, this is obviously a very interesting source for us about this, whether you can teach your daughters. You know, and it's here again. It's not even. This is just if someone's not allowed to get benefit from, right? Are they allowed to teach you? If you can't get benefit from them, are they allowed to teach you Torah? Okay, so they can't teach you mikra, but they can teach your children, your sons and your daughters, mikra. Because what are they saying, right? This is interesting because you're chayav to teach your sons and daughters Torah. So they are somewhat benefiting you, but since they're teaching them directly and they're not teaching you, that's already allowed. Okay, we'll have to push this on hold for right now until we get to the Sugya on Lamed Zayin, where it talks about what the issue is, Mikra, and why that's different from the other things, right? Generally, this Mishnah, if you didn't have this Mikra issue, you'd say the whole thing is really, you're basically doing a mitzvah for someone, and a mitzvah is Lav Lehanot, it's new, and therefore Hana'ah doesn't include doing mitzvot, teaching, all that stuff, giving korbanot for them, Torem Trumato, okay? So now we're going to see, though, the Hakravah is a little bit different. The Hakravah is going to split up into this issue of when you're a Kohen and you're doing the Shlichut of someone to bring their Korban, are you, this is going to be the question of the Gemara, I'll just read it inside first. Ibai Elihu, so now the Gemara asks, Hani Kane Shluchei Didan Havu O Shluchei Dishmaya? Are you acting as a Shaliach of the person whose Korban you're bringing? And then you basically would be Nehenedem then because you're doing something for them, right? You're bringing their korban. Or are you shluchei dishmaya? Are you just a messenger of God, basically? And therefore, you're not Nehenevis person, you're just doing the, you know, you're doing a message, you're being a messenger of God to do the karma. So now they say, Lamai Nafkamina, what's the Nafkamina, whether you, you know, this question obviously was asked in a different context, not in our sugya. This question was just asked, when the Kohanim bring korban out for people, are they acting as shluchim of the people, or are they acting as a shliach of a kadosh baruch hu? So they say, Lamai Nafkamina, what's the relevance? So they say, ah, the Nafkamina is exactly for our issue, the mudar hana'ah. Right? If you're acting, iamar tishluchei didan havu, that you're functioning as a shaliach of the person whose korban you're bringing, so hamahanele va'aser, you're basically mahanedem, and it would be forbidden. Viamar shluchei dishmaya share. Okay? And if you said it was shluchei dishmaya, then even if you're mudar and off on this person, you still have to bring the korban, because you're just acting as a messenger of God. So now the Gemara says, my. So what is it? Which one? So they say, ah, Tashma, let's bring in our Mishnah, right? And you have to remember, this is a sugya that's outside of, it was taught outside of our Mishnah, and now they're saying, oh, we have this question. What's the relevance? Ah, it's relevant from Udarana. Ah, where are we going to learn the answer? Oh, go to this Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to teach you the answer. Ditnan. Makriv alav kinei zavim b'chule. So, I amar shluchei didan, so kamahanele, right? If you say, the Mishnah says you're allowed to do it. So if you're allowed to do it, right? If you're going to say that they're functioning as the shaliach of the person, so they are benefiting them. And since they're benefiting them, it should be asr. Okay, so therefore it must be, right now the Gemara is going to assume, we're going to reject this in a minute, that you must be shluchei shmaya, and that's why it's allowed. Okay, but now what do they say? Wait a minute. V'lit amech, if that's your answer, litni, what should it have said in the Mishnah? Makriv alav korbanot, exactly. All korbanot. Okay, and which korbanot did they bring up here? Only the ones, we're going to see in a minute what they call them, we've seen this before, Ela mechusare kapara shani. These are in a different category, the ones we brought up. Why? They're all korbanot, they are called mechusare kapara. What does that mean? You do a tahalich of, you go to the mikveh, and in some of the cases, right, you wait 7 days, and you have this process, and then what happens? At the end of the process, you're called a mechusare kapurin. You have to bring a korban the next morning, right? You usually go to the mikvah on the seventh day, let's say for the zav and the zavah. So on the seventh day, you go to the mikvah in the morning, you wait till harev shemesh, you're basically tahor, except that you're missing one element, this mechusar kapara, also the metzorah, it's the same thing. Okay? And then in the morning, you have to bring this korban. Okay, now the Ram points out, I want you to look at the Ram for 1 minute, chutz min mechusare kapara, it's right before the lines get a little bit wider in the Ram. So he says, Zavu Zavau Mitsora Mitsora Bioledet. Okay, those are the Mukhusare Kapara. Ubekulu Ktiv Torat. Okay, it says, Zotorata Zav and Zotorata Mitsora. Okay, and Zotorata Yoledet. It says it by all of them, so they're connecting them. Vikare Luhu Mukhusare Kapara. Why? Mishum Shasurim Likanes Lamigdashu Lechoba Kodeshim Ad Shiaviu Kaparatan. Okay, they all have this Isur upon them. That they cannot go into the Mikdash, they can't eat kodshim until they bring this kapara, which is their korban. Vahane, now here's a very strange Lashon thing. It's called kapara, the korban, but he's going to point out an interesting thing. That all these people, kevan de'ein korbanam bala kapara, okay, the korban isn't because you did something wrong. The zav, the zavah didn't do anything wrong. The Metzorah also, right? Even though the Midrashim will tell us, oh, there's some avera there, but really, they didn't do anything wrong. They just have a situation, or Yoledet clearly didn't do anything wrong, right? Again, they try to say she must have done something wrong, otherwise why should she bring this chatat? She must have screamed, you know, cursed in childbirth. But anyway, or sweared, right? She swore that she wouldn't have any kids. But technically, they didn't do something that really needs kapara. And therefore, we're going to learn, I'm already jumping the gun, because this is what the Gemara says about them, they're in a unique category, because ein tzrichin da'at. Okay? We'll see in a minute. You know, you don't need, someone can do it on your behalf. Okay, without your knowledge. Someone can bring that korban for you, even if you don't know that they're bringing it for you. Aval, now here's going to be something obvious, right? Kol shetzrichin kapara alchet, tzrichin da'at. This always, when you talk about korbanot, right, we always have this problem. What do you mean korbanot? It's like someone else brings the korban for you, and you're so disconnected from it, right? The point is that if it's a korban that you need kapara for, you have to actually, right, it has to be with your knowledge, at least. There needs to be some element of your involvement there, okay? Whereas if it's not coming for kapara, it's just technically you have to bring this korban, so that's different. And then you don't need that, and that's where the mechusare kippurim are going to be different. Okay, so now we're going to read. So ela mechusare kapara shane, de'amar Rabbi Yochanan, hakol tzrichin dat, Chutz mi mechusarei kapara. Okay? Every korban needs diet. Okay, this is already, we read this in the Ran, but I wanted you to see why the Ran thought there was this distinction, right? That why do they all need diet? Because they need kapara. These, even though they're called mechusarei kapara, and the korban is actually called kapara, that's why it's a bit of a confusing Ran. The korban is called kapara, but it doesn't mean kapara in the real meaning of kapara, that you need lechaper. Okay, so all those, you don't need da'at, okay? And therefore, since you don't need da'at for the mechusarei kapara, therefore, someone, right, the kohen could bring it for you, even if he's functioning as your shaliach. If you don't even need to know about it, then he's not really necessarily benefiting you. Since someone else could bring this korban for you, without you even knowing, his doing it for you isn't considered a benefit. Okay? And therefore, those korbanot he can bring for you. But when it comes to other korbanot, he can't. Okay? So now, they're going to say, where does Rabbi Yochanan get this from? How does he know that all need da'at except for mechusarei kapara? Sha'arei adam mebi korban al bana va'al benotav haktanim. Shene'amar, zot torat hazav. And what do they learn from that word, zot torat hazav? It comes to include something, because it's like zot torat hazav. It's just like an unnecessary pasuk. What's it coming to include? Ben gadol, ben katan. Okay, so therefore, what do we see here? That it includes gadolim and katanim. Now, if it includes katanim, we know that katanim don't have da'at. So you must be allowed to bring a korban for someone, even without their knowledge. So now they're going to ask a question of Rabbi Yochanan. If you're going to learn from the word zot torat hazav, that it's ben gadol ben katan, and therefore we're going to learn our issue, ela me'atala Rabbi Yochanan, zot torat ha-yoledet, ben katana ben gdola. So zot torat comes to include ben katan ben gadol. So by yoledet, it should include a katana and a gdola. And what's the problem with that? We've already learned this a number of times. Katana bat le'dahi, a katana can't give birth. V'ha'atane rabibi, kamed rav nachman, shalosh nashim isham shopimoch, right? These are three women that can use birth control. A katana, a mu'beret, and a minika. A ketana shema titaber b'tamud, right? We don't want the ketana to get pregnant because if she gets pregnant, she'll die. Okay? And, right, the other ones, because obviously, right, they're not getting pregnant. So now what do they answer? They say, no, zot torat hazav is ben gadol ben katan. Zot torat ha-yoledet, it comes to include something different. Zot torat ha-yoledet ben pikachat ben shota. Okay, whether she is an intelligent woman, or if she's a shota and doesn't have knowledge, you still have to bring the korban yoledet on her. Okay, which would prove the same thing. That someone who doesn't have da'at, you can bring a korban for them. Shaken adam mebi korban alishto shota. How do we know that he can bring a korban on his wife who's a shota? Kidivrei Rabbi Yehuda. Titanya Rabbi Yehuda omer. Adam mebi korban ashir alishto. V'chol korbanot shechayevet. Shekach kotev la v'achrayut di'i lachalai min kadmat dina. Going back to ketubah, right? What is, okay, I'll work backwards here. The husband in the ketubah promises her, let's even start from the beginning maybe. What's the issue with a korban of a woman? So, you know there's the korban olevi yored. What's a korban olevi yored? You give a different type of korban depending on your financial situation. If you're wealthy, you bring a good, solid animal. If you're not wealthy, you bring birds because they're cheaper. So now, what about if a woman has to bring a korban olevi yored? So, we know that women don't have money. All their money goes to their husband. So they're not... No woman is independently wealthy according to halacha because their money is not theirs. It all ends up in their husband's property. So all women are aniyim, okay? But let's say the husband's ashir, okay? So now what, right? The woman herself, if you look at her assets, she's got zero assets because all of them belong to the husband, kolo they're married, right? She gets some of them when she leaves the marriage. But so now, what do we say here? So he says, Adam may be korban ashir al ishto. In other words, if she has to bring a korban, it goes by what the husband, right? The husband can bring a korban. If he's wealthy, he can bring a good, solid animal for the woman. Okay? Even though she, technically speaking, isn't wealthy. V'chol korbanot shechayevet, right? And any korban he can bring for her. Why? Because he said, he wrote in the ketubah, the achrayut I have for you, right? From this moment, right? Even any responsibilities that you have from before our marriage and from now, okay, right? Kadmat dina is from even before now. And therefore, he can bring a korban for her. And therefore, what do you see? That mechusarei kapara don't need da'at, right? Like this Yoledet case. And therefore, we can still explain that they're functioning as shluchei didan, okay? And therefore, other korbanot, the a kohen can't bring if he's mudar hana'ah from someone, okay, or if they're mudar hana'ah from him. He can't bring a korban for them, but dafka the mechusarei kapara he would be able to. Okay, that's what we've gotten to now. Till tomorrow.